Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the Daily Drive podcast, part of the BNBlitz.com. My name is Paul Peck with Kevin Sylvester. We're from Buffalo Sports Page. We are here every day to break down everything that's going on with the Bills. And now that we have hit the off-season mode, Kevin and I are diving a little bit into looking at individual positions, where the Bills were, where they might be going, what changes might be coming. That's going to be the topic of today's discussion. But for the latest on the Bills, coaching staff changes, draft previews, as Jay Skursky spends this week at the Shrine Bowl starting to get you ready for draft prospects. TheBNBlitz.com is the place to go. If you're a Buffalo News or BuffaloNews.com subscriber, you get access to TheBNBlitz.com for free. All right, Kevin, always time to talk about, it's time to talk about an always interesting position because I don't think any of us really understand the nuances of playing it. We just know whether they can prevent sacks and open holes for running backs, and that would be the offensive line.
Now, wait, I played center in high school, Paul, so I know everything about the the offensive line, it's crucial, and I actually thought this offensive line did a decent job this year, especially with the injuries that occurred and players that we thought were going to be in play, meaning John Miller at right guard,
yep,
and players that filled in, meaning Deion Dawkins,
sure,
at left tackle. So.
And a change in blocking philosophy a little bit under Rick Dennison that may or may not change again.
Listen, that stuff matters, okay? It does matter because your center is, you know, the anchor of the line and the communication along the line and the chemistry and knowing how a guy blocks and if he can, what he can handle, what he can't handle, coming blocking schemes and different things throwing at him. There is chemistry needed on an offensive line for it to be successful, along with talent, stamina, smarts. Everybody's going to be smart
footwork
on that line. You know, that's the physical part of it, which needs to happen. So
here
it's important.
So here, as you talk about continuity, my follow-up point to you is to say, as I look at the Bills' offensive line, I see only two of the positions locked in right now.
Well, I see two of the
players,
yes, okay,
locked in.
I was going to say two of the players. Eric Wood at center.
Correct.
And Deion Dawkins.
Either at left or right tackle. But I'm inclined to think at left tackle.
Well,
beyond that, I don't know that we can flat out say we know Richie Incognito is going to be back.
I would think he's not in it. I'm going to say for salary cap reasons. It's
correct.
A lot of money. $7.5 million cap number,
correct,
for 2018.
At 34 years old, may soon to be 35. And frankly, I can't imagine that the Bills are going to look at both Vlad Dukas and Jordan Mills and say, they're okay, but we need to be better there. Now, can you upgrade every position in one offseason? Maybe not. But I don't know that either of those guys are locks to be back in the same spots next year.
Well, Cordy Glenn.
That's the huge discussion. You know,
yeah,
at a cap figure of $14.4 million next year coming off foot surgery, what's his future? Bills take a pretty good hit if they want to cut him. Is there a trade market out there for him? I don't know that there is. If you're going to keep him because the cap hit's so restrictive to cut him, do you keep him and put him back at left tackle, hope he can get through the year healthy? He's played okay when he's been healthy. And now you can move Deion Dawkins into a battle at right tackle with Jordan Mills, or maybe Jordan Mills or can kick to another position. So everything will start with where the Bills decide they're at with Cordy Glenn.
Yeah, he is the kingpin here, not only money-wise, but what you do. Dawkins played well at left tackle.
I was very impressed. I think he's a left tackle of the future.
But there are some scouts that think he'd be better inside, right? But
yeah,
like, listen, what he'd be better at and what he's doing,
every
is
tackle
fine
can always be better inside.
All right, so would you play Cordy Glenn at guard?
Well, the problem with Cordy Glenn is he's played left tackle for a long time. He's established he's a good player there. I don't know whether you're too late in your career to be changing and moving guys around like that.
Did you move him to right tackle?
Well, I think it's the same thing. I think it's the same argument. I think if Cordy Glenn is back, he's your left tackle. It'd be easier to move Deion Dawkins because, frankly, that's where he started the year out at right tackle. Again, that's why the Cordy Glenn thing starts all the rest of the dominoes here.
All right, so let's go with that scenario because I don't hate it. We'll think positively that Cordy Glenn's foot's finally healed. All right, they did a transplant and he's got a new foot. I'm kidding.
It's like a Lee Majors thing you just referenced there.
The foot's fine. All right, so he's your left tackle. Wood's your center. Deion Dawkins is your right tackle.
Okay.
All right, now we have to find guards.
Right. Well, you know, again, the incognito thing has a lot of layers to it. We still don't know what the shakeout of whatever the accusations were about what he said in
Jacksonville.
Let's
forget that
for
right now.
Forget it. But that could be the determining factor. Frankly, it could be perceived to be the determining factor. If it comes out that Richie did something that he shouldn't have done and the Bills decide to move away from him, ultimately, I think it'll be for salary cap reasons, but that will be sort of the cover to it.
Yes, I would agree, because NFL teams deal with worse stuff, okay? And this was bad, all right?
And there's his history. I get it. You know, and I think it has more to do with the fact that he's 34 years old. He's on the declining end of his career with a $7.5 million cap hit.
That's why I would move on. I'm going to take the... The off-field
okay.
stuff.
So we're moving on.
Well, it happened on the field. Whatever happened, whatever was said, I'm going to take that out of my equation, because you know what? As we said when it happened, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. So let's move that to a side. Football thinks, you know what? Hey, I thank you very much. I know you played well. Now, if he takes a cap hit, if he restructures, and if he takes less money, would you keep him?
Hey, I thought he still played at a whatever you define it to be a Pro Bowl level. You know, I thought he still played pretty well last year. He's a leader on the team. He's a recognized veteran. I do think that when Brandon Bean says we have to get a little younger because they were one of the older teams in the league, I think in some ways he's talking about a guy like Incognito. I would suspect that whatever the new system Brian Daboll is going to bring in, it will be determined by whether he thinks Richie Incognito fits it or not, and that's probably where the Bills will go from there. The other guy that makes me wonder about what his future is John Miller. You know, he was a relatively high draft pick, started his first couple of years, and then completely fell off the face of the earth, although I think that was the decision by the coaching staff to want to go with Vlad Dukas, because John Miller, I think, was inactive for almost about whole back half of the season. What's his future? He's under contract another year at under $1 million on the cap, but they clearly don't think he can play or don't think he can play in their system. But again, it's not the same system again.
Yeah, you know, he's cheap.
You move him to left guard and leave Dukas and draft another guard in the middle rounds where you can find legitimately good offensive guards.
Oh, I think they're drafting an offensive lineman.
Is that how the guard position shake
well,
out?
Well, listen, they're going to draft an offensive lineman, and they're going to draft someone on the interior, I think, because that's the spot of need. Eric Wood is, 31 years old right now. So,
right.
You know, it's not like he's a spring chicken. He's not incredibly old, but, how much longer are you going to go down the road with Eric Wood?
I think this is the last year of his deal, or maybe 2 years after he restructured his deal.
Yeah, his cap number is $8.6 million and change.
Yeah, he's 2 years left. He's got 18 and 19 on his deal, free agent in 2020. And remember, you had to have Ryan Groy, which I don't quite understand. They signed him, they matched the offer to him, and then he never saw the field.
That
tells me is that they see him as the backup center, maybe the backup center to replace Eric Wood whenever they decide to move on from Eric, because he clearly, under the old system, couldn't play guard enough to get on the field.
Yeah, and he's making $2.5 million next year on the cap, so he'll be around. Incognito to me, I just think that cap number is going to be too high for him. I think it's because of age. If they can move on from him, or if they can get him restructured down to a lower number, now we bring in the accusation. And if that is true, if he said, did that, that's tough in your own locker room, let alone on the field against other players. So I don't know how you reconcile that, if there's anything to reconcile. With your own teammates, the guys you're on the line with, even though Deion Dawkins did come out and defend him immediately. So maybe it's not a concern. That's for Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to decide. They do have they do have big cap numbers. I mean, next year on the cap, they're 25% of the team spending on the salary cap is on the offensive line. That's a lot. That tells me there's going to be some sort of move there to make. It's an important spot there. And the Cordy Glenn and Richie Incognito, I mean, they're like 21 million combined, 22 right. million combined. That's a, and that's a lot of dough for two dudes.
And you can find some free agent guards, some veteran guys that can come in and play on the free agent market that aren't going to cost you a lot. I mean, I can tell you the names on the list here, and I don't know that any of us know a whole lot about any of them, but there's some familiar names on the list that are former high draft picks and stuff. So I think it'll be a much different looking offensive line for the Bills when it kicks off in 18.
Vlad Dukas could be somebody that they say
he's under contract. Yeah, you know, they may like him. I mean,
so's Incognito.
Frankly, I didn't think he played awful. You know, I think people think he played awful because people wanted to see the other guy playing, and they were, oh, Vlad Dukas got beat on that. And he did get beat. He's not a great player. But as the season went on, he seemed to kind of handle his own, and he's a big body, which it seems as though the Bills liked having. So, again, I think, you know, offensive line's an important position and another one that looks like it's headed for some new names and some changes into 2018.
You know, for our two-minute drill, I want to explore Incognito, and let's get a definitive thing here in our two-minute drill.
The Daily Drive two-minute drill is brought to you by Experimac of Orchard Park. ExperimacOP.com.
Our two-minute drill brought to you by Experimac Orchard Park. If you do break a device, go see our friends at Experimac Orchard Park. They will fix it and fix your Android, too, and PCs, not just Apple products. They can fix those things. So check them out, ExperimacOP.com. All right. Incognito. Is he a Bill or is he not next year? If they restructure, okay? Is he a Bill or is he not a Bill? What's your
I'm going to say no. And I'm going to say it's 80% because of his age and salary and 20% because of whatever it is that he did in Jacksonville. I think it was made pretty clear in the season-ending press conference by Bean and McDermott, particularly Bean, that something occurred there. Whether it was a quote-unquote misunderstanding, whatever it was, something was done, something was said that probably wasn't appropriate on Richie's front. And unfortunately, even though Richie's been a good citizen and soldier in Buffalo, as you said, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. So if there was anything that was semi-inappropriate, I think that is that leads you down the road to the Bills saying he's old and he makes a lot of money and we need to take a stand and show our team and the league and our fans that we won't tolerate this stuff.
I think he was gone before the incident because of salary cap.
And so the incident is, even though it'll be written that it was the reason they get rid of him, you don't think it had anything to do with it?
I think it didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
I think they were getting rid of him anyways. I think this makes it more convenient.
And to be very honest with you, I give Richie Incognito a lot of credit for resurrecting his career here. And while we love to beat up on Rex Ryan, him having the guts to stand up and have the guy signed, I think wound up being a pretty good decision. He was a good player here, and the consensus is he was well-liked in the locker room, and he was a leader and a Pro Bowler and all that other stuff. I think what it tells us is that some of the things that happened in Miami were overblown, became a media narrative. Not to say that Richie didn't have some role in what happened there, but not nearly to the level that it got to that forced him to sit out an entire season. So good for Richie for resurrecting his career. At least we thought until whatever happened in Jacksonville, but I don't take anything away from Richie Incognito for being able to understand this was likely his last chance and he handled it mostly well.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
The way you said it.
All right.
I have nothing more to say about it.
Okay.
But I think he's gone.
Hopefully in the next couple of days, we're going to try to connect with Jay Skursky, who is down covering the Shrine Bowl as the college All-Star games start to go. So we're going to try to connect with Jay and get the latest on what's going on down there in the next couple of days, hopefully. So make sure you tune in for the latest editions of the BNBlitz.com Daily Drive podcast. For Kevin Sylvester, my name is Paul Peck. Have yourself a great Wednesday.